The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Be persistent in prayer. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you as you have received everything you need for God's kingdom. A list that has only one item on it. Dear friends in Christ, I can only imagine as I'm looking over the landscape here that a lot of the people gathered here, probably not everyone, but a lot of the people here remember back to the time when they went to Sunday school. And a lot of you did go to Sunday school when you were young. And a lot of you that went to Sunday school still remember at least bits and pieces of it. I sure do. And we're talking about, okay, I went to Lutheran school for 8 years. I only had two teachers for those 8 years. But I had a different Sunday school teacher every year. And I remember every one of them. And I remember something special about everyone. And to tell you about the kinds of things I remember about Sunday school. Now, it's something, first of all, that, you know, I was in it virtually every Sunday, but occasionally the time would come when I was going to stay with a grandparent, a relative someplace, and that was fine. But over the weekend, if you did that, you had to go to church with them. And I always remember that whenever, you know, if it was relatives where we were headed back to a different Lutheran church, in every Sunday school that where I went to these other Lutheran churches, we didn't have this at ours. We'd get about 2 minutes into the Sunday school lesson and somebody would walk in and say, does anybody want church extension stamps? Do any of you remember this? The church extension stamps, which, like I said, my church never had that. I didn't know what they were. If I wanted them, I didn't know what I had to do. And if I had them, I didn't know if it really meant anything. I guess it was kind of a little bit like having S&H Green stamps or something, and I suppose about half the congregation, I'll have to explain that one to you as well. But in any case, but I remember certain things about every Sunday school teacher, about some of the lessons that they gave and some of the different slants that they had, the direction that they tried to take to help teach a particular lesson that was age appropriate, something that I, as a kindergartner, as a third grader, as a, whatever the case might be, I was going to learn. But the one thing we never had to wonder about was where the lesson was going to come from. Now, I'm not talking about who printed the book that's got the Sunday school lessons in them. I'm talking about where are those lessons from? You knew. Even if you had no idea where from where in this book it was going to come from, that every Sunday school lesson was going to come out of the Bible. You never had to ask a question like that. Well, as time grew by and I started to become a pastor, I started gaining an appreciation for all of the different ways that God's word is shared amongst his people. The different settings of, in between my training and vicarage and whatever, I got a chance to see a lot of it. Then something happened when I had first become a pastor, and I'll tell you that story in a minute, but I'm going to set the story up this way. There was a time when my kids were all at an age where if there was going to be something on television, it was probably a kid's show of some kind. And there was this one show, I don't remember the name of it like I remember the Bible stories. I'm sorry, maybe it was on Nickelodeon or something like that. And it was kind of meant to be a spoof, where this young girl comes on the set and she is supposedly taking letters. It's an advice columnist, except, you know, we're not talking about a full-grown woman here. We're talking about a little girl, and she gets these letters supposedly, but the problems on there are stupid. And the solutions are quite obvious. And here was an example of a couple excerpts out of a letter that was sent to her where it said, "I've been going a couple of days now, and I'm trying to do all these different things, but I just keep getting weaker and weaker. My stomach is starting to growl at me more and more, and I just don't know what to do. Do you have any advice for me?" And she's one of these people where she would start with this great big smile and say, "I think I can help you with your problem." Then she'd get this frown on her face. "How about getting something to eat?" And she'd just go on and on like that. Well, I set that story up. In my first year as a pastor, I was attending one of my first ever, I've been at him as a vicar, but as a pastor, one of my first ever community ministeriums. This is where all the pastors in the community, there at least most of them, in my first community, we even had a Jew that attended, a Jewish rabbi that was a part of the community ministerium. Usually we would talk about community issues, issues that we all had in common that concerned us. And I learned over the course of years, you just kind of hoped that we never got into the business of talking religion, or as for example, one day when this guy asked, "Say, what are you guys doing in your parish?" No, let me put it to you another way. He said, "What are you guys doing in the pulpit? What are you guys doing for your sermons right now?" And, the room went silent for just a moment. And I'm sitting here thinking, first of all, I'm thinking, okay, pal, you're the newbie. Keep the mouth shut. But I kept thinking, well, is he asking, like, are we doing like a sermon series, like on the Ten Commandments or whatever else? I wasn't sure where he was going with this. And then he said, "Well, I mean, I've done all these different things. Right now, I'm doing a bunch of book reviews. And I'm running out of ideas in terms of what I should do from the pulpit." And again, I was sitting there, shifting back and forth in my chair. And the side of me that was fighting to open the zipper was just overwhelming, because what I wanted to do was to just put this big smile on my face. "I think I got a solution for you. How about preach the word of God? Did that ever occur to you that this thing is here to preach the word of God?" Well, apparently it didn't. And when you have the word of God in Sunday school, in these things we call Bible study, why would you use anything else? To what book, reviewed or not, would the Bible ever come up short to? Folks, in our second lesson for today, Paul is speaking some of the final words he will ever write. And in fact, the second lesson for next week, the weekend that I'm gone, do in fact include his final written words. I'm being poured out like a drink offering and stuff like that. But here, as this letter, the second letter to the young pastor Timothy, is winding down, he's got some urgent advice that he's not only giving to pastors, he wants to make sure everybody knows. And the first thing he reminds you is, look, this is nothing new to any of you. For almost every one of you. Now, there's always some that are new to the faith, and we welcome every one of you. We are grateful that you have come on board in God's kingdom. But for a lot of you, those words continue what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. An incredible book. Why? Because that book, and that book alone, is what is able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here is where you learn about Jesus Christ. And folks, like a good movie, where, and I don't know, some of you probably do this, some of you probably don't, but if there's ever a good movie out there, a really good movie, I'm going to want to watch it 100, 200, 300 times. Why? Because there's always something I've missed. Something that is worth dialing into that you'll never catch it the first time. Same is true with Scripture. Even if we're talking about one of the really familiar passages or stories or whatever, there's something in there that the richness of God's word, because this is exactly what it is. God's word is incomparable to anything else that we know. And that's why it talks about scripture being breathed out by God, that we use the same set of Hebrew words, the idea that the very words were inspired inside of those people who were given the awesome task of writing the books for Holy Scripture. And it is. It is what's worth using. It is simple enough to be able to do for whatever it is for teaching, for training in righteousness, so that we may be equipped for every good work. We have the tools that we need. Because let's face it, the world that we live in today, we cannot be scriptural amateurs. We cannot be people that always think that we have something better to read, something better to do, something better to occupy our time than to be get more and more and more knowledgeable in the scriptures. Even as Paul warned us about these people with itching ears, and you find enough of those in churches, but the ears aren't even itching outside. They are closed. Nobody has time for the word of God, but we, through complete patience and teaching, must find a way to share that. And look, we don't have to be scriptural experts. Okay, I remember distinctly my fourth grade teacher just kind of getting after me because I just wasn't getting the last four books of the Old Testament. That was back in fourth grade. And she made me recite them with all the rest of the books of the Old Testament until I got them right. Never forget that. But even if you're not a chapter or, you know, book, chapter, and verse type of an individual, there are things about the scriptures that you know a whole lot more than maybe you think you do. I mean, our opening song today, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path," we know that. That not something that would ever be far from our lips. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That and so much more is something that we do know. And even some of the phrases that have made their way into worship, phrases like, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In many and various ways, God spoke to the forefathers of old through the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Friends, there's more than enough people that have already turned away or just do not know even how to turn to the Word of God, no matter how much it is the very thing and the only thing to make us wise unto salvation. So what do we do? Well, friends, as a pastor, from time to time, I've received reminders that have come down from the church, and sometimes delivered at our meeting of our pastors. We just had one this past Tuesday, and the guy that serves as circuit counselor has gotten these words to pass on to everybody that, yeah, you're spending time reading God's word so that you can prepare your sermon, reading God's word so you can prepare your Bible study, reading God's word so if you're continuing to write papers on what God's word says, you're doing all that stuff. But how often do you just sit down and read God's word for the sake of reading God's word? And that's true of all of us, that we don't need a Bible study or a reason to pick up Holy Scripture, because it is the word that makes us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, equipping us for every good work. And then finally, Jesus himself has a little hint for us when he tells us, pray, and pray without ceasing, and be persistent in prayer. Now, at this moment, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I was getting it up till here, but wait a minute. Am I supposed to choose now? Do I read Scripture or pray? Read Scripture, then what am I supposed to do here? And well, at that point, I remind people, you know, some of the most precious prayers that have ever been written, words of comfort, words that cry out to God, words that say the words that we cannot say, that we can't think to say. And so many of them, my friends, are in the Psalms. To be able to sit down and take time in prayer by reading the Psalms is one of the most comforting things that I do. And indeed, when we're done with our message here, instead of the creed, we are actually going to go back and read one of those Psalms that if it's stopped being familiar or it never has been familiar, we're going to try to get it familiar once again. But Jesus knows that what he offers to each one of us in our times of trouble, when we can lift up our hearts, he also gives to us through his holy and precious word. Friends, there is so much that is out there that turns us away from God. We need to see some things that bring us to God. And that means, as it says, in season and out of season. Well, I had to keep reminding myself, and to this day, I'm leaving here in a few after worship, but I don't even know if I'm going north, and I don't even remember if I packed a jacket. It's fall. Guess what? But we're in a different season here. Imagine it this way. I don't know how many of you, talking about TV, ever watched The Muppets? Kind of a cute little show from years and years ago of Jim Henson. And there are always these two old guys that were up in the balcony causing trouble, harassing Kermit and so on. And Kermit one day got tired of it, and he said, "You guys think you're so good. Why don't you come down here and do the show?" And so it's like, okay, we're in charge of the show tonight. And so the first song was from a group called Jerry and the Atrix. It actually was pretty good. You'll figure that one out soon. But then each one had gone their separate way. There are two of these old men, and they came back and said, "I found the perfect musical number." The other one comes in, "I found the perfect musical number." And the one over here says, "It is a tribute to the 4th of July." And the one over here says, "It is a tribute to Christmas." And all of a sudden, we are listening, 4th of July, Christmas, going back and forth and back and forth. Whoever wrote that song, it was done beautifully. But seasons can get so confused, especially when you live in Florida, my friends. But the Word of God seems to be out of season almost constantly. We as God's people need to be ready as to exhort with complete patience and teaching and whatever it is that we need to do, because it is the only tool that we have, that the world has, that God himself has given us to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. May each of you continue to grow in God's word, remembering that he has equipped us through his word for every good work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned a moment ago, in place of the creed this morning, we are going to speak the words of the 23rd Psalm. It is up on the screen. This is the version from the King James Version. I ask you to stand as we do that. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, so let us lift our prayers to him who invites us to pray and never lose heart. Merciful Father, you love us with an everlasting love, and you always provide for us and promise to give justice to your elect who cry out to you day and night. Grant us the faith, that trust that you always remain in control, and that you will bless us with forgiveness, guidance, and eternal life. Teach us to pray with that same kind of persistence because of that great love. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, because all scripture is breathed out by your Spirit, teach us to use it for all the purposes for which it does a good in this world, reproving, restoring, teaching, raising your people in righteousness, so that all of us are equipped for every good work. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, fill your church with preachers and teachers who will proclaim that word and are ready to care in good times and in bad, in season and out of season. Because the time really has come when people are not interested in sound teaching. Endow us with the wisdom to distinguish what your truth really is. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, as we close in on the elections for our nation, our state, our county, and our local municipalities, provide all of the areas of society with leaders who fear you and respect people. Lead them to godly decisions. Make them honorable in both word and deed. Defend those who place their lives at danger every day to serve and protect us. Those in the public sector, our police and firefighters, and also those who serve in our military. Keep them safe, provide them with courage, and bless this land, enabling us to live as good citizens in the freedoms you have given us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, as you watch over your people, we have seen both the good times and the bad that you have brought to us. This morning, our hearts are heavy as we lift up before you the family of Rennell Book, as you have now taken her to yourself. We also pray on behalf of the family of June Rorschieb, who will be remembered in a memorial service later this week. We also pray on behalf of those who are or have been hospitalized, Jennifer Brock Watkinson, and also all of God's people that are going through any other kind of difficulty. We also lift up to you in times of thanks, never forgetting your goodness around us. We are grateful as you have united Tyler Inman and Bethany Butler before our altar here in a marriage ceremony yesterday. Lord, hear us now as we lift up before you someone that is special in our lives in need of the help that you can give in a moment of silent prayer. Merciful Father, as you have promised, keep safe our coming in and going out from this time forth and forevermore. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 9, the closing unison collect as we pray together. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father, for you have strengthened us through word and sacrament to go out into the world as your faithful people. Grant us competence and confidence that we may be witnesses whose message is heard, whose deeds bring glory to your name. Keep us in the true faith and bring us at length to your eternal kingdom, where you live and rule with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So let us lift our prayers to him who invites us to pray and never lose heart. Merciful Father, you love us with an everlasting love. And you always provide for us and promise to give justice to your elect who cry out to you day and night. Grant us the faith, that trust that you always remain in control and that you will bless us with forgiveness, guidance, and eternal life. Teach us to pray with that same kind of persistence because of that great love. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, because all scripture is breathed out by your Spirit. Teach us to use it for all the purposes for which it does a good in this world, reproving, restoring, teaching, raising your people in righteousness, so that all of us are equipped for every good work. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, fill your church with preachers and teachers who will proclaim that word and are ready to care in good times and in bad, in season and out of season. Because the time really has come when people are not interested in sound teaching. Endow us with the wisdom to distinguish what your truth really is. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, as we close in on the elections for our nation, our state, our county, and our local municipalities, provide all of the areas of society with leaders who fear you and respect people. Lead them to godly decisions. Make them honorable in both word and deed. Defend those who place their lives at danger every day to serve and protect us. Those in the public sector, our police and firefighters, and also those who serve in our military. Keep them safe, provide them with courage, and bless this land, enabling us to live as good citizens in the freedoms you have given us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, as you watch over your people, we have seen both the good times and the bad that you have brought to us. This morning, our hearts are heavy as we lift up before you the family of Ranelle Book, as you have now taken her to yourself. We also pray on behalf of the family of June Rorschach, who will be remembered in a memorial service later this week. We also pray on behalf of those who are or have been hospitalized, Jennifer Brock Watkinson, and also all of God's people that are going through any other kind of difficulty. We also lift up to you in times of thanks, never forgetting your goodness around us. We are grateful as you have united Tyler Inman and Bethany Butler before our altar here in a marriage ceremony yesterday. Lord, hear us now as we lift up before you someone that is special in our lives in need of the help that you can give in a moment of silent prayer. Merciful Father, as you have promised, keep safe our coming in and going out from this time forth and forevermore. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 9, the closing unison collect as we pray together. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father, for you have strengthened us through word and sacrament to go out into the world as your faithful people. Grant us competence and confidence that we may be witnesses whose message is heard, whose deeds bring glory to your name. Keep us in the true faith and bring us at length to your eternal kingdom, where you live and rule with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.